The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Welcome to the program, Daryl.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, just curious, like, what was the lead headline takeaway this morning when you were on Cleveland radio talking about this Knicks-Cavs game, game three, the series so far? What was your main story angle this morning?
Well, I just think that in fact, the Cavaliers are out of gas, and that really showed up in game three. And that's a byproduct of a couple things. One, playing pretty much every other day since the end of April in these playoffs, and having two series go seven full games. And then also, too, obviously, that blowing that 22-point lead in game one. They just never recovered from that. I talked about on our post-game show about that, my concern that they would not be able to recover from doing that. And unfortunately, I ended up dead right about that. So I think this Cavalier team is out of gas and running on fumes, and the New York Knicks have really done a number on them and taken advantage of that.
I'm sure, obviously you saw it because I saw it, but that Kenny Atkinson today with the comment that analytically speaking, the Cavs are up 2-1 in this series, in that he's obviously referring to expected points, the expected shots, that the Cavs are missing easier shots than the Knicks are making. But a comment like that, analytically speaking, we're up 2-1. I'm wondering how that's received in Cleveland. It would not be very well received here in New York.
It's going over fantastically. analytically speaking, they're down 3-0. They've lost 3 basketball games. The only statistic that matters in a computer world is the final score. And by my count, the New York Knicks are scoring a lot more points than the Cavaliers are in this series. So analytically speaking, the Cavaliers suck right now. And that's just the way it goes.
It just seems like, and we had Atkinson here, obviously, in our market in Brooklyn. He was really actually pretty well respected, highly thought of, certainly really good with player development, player, talent evaluation. He's a smart guy. He's a good guy. So have a high opinion of him. And then to see in this series, not only a comment like that today, which just seems like, dude, read the room, just seems like, what do you, what fan base on the planet down 3-0 wants to hear? Well, the good news is we'll hang a banner that says, analytically speaking, we won the series. Come on. But that aside, you mentioned the 22-point collapse / Knicks comeback in game one in 7.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. And I just also was shocked. We were shocked that Kenny Atkinson just seemed to sit on the bench, sit on his timeouts and never do anything. As you said, this is a team in the Cavs who played a 7-game series. What's been the reaction or thoughts? Like, is this something where maybe this guy gets fired? That just seemed like such a terrible coaching job in game one.
Well, he's been pretty much terrible this entire series. He has allowed Mike Brown into baiting him into a foul and free throw strategy that has gotten the Knicks in the bonus rather quickly. They have become very 3-point happy shooting. And granted, they shot a lot of threes in the regular season and obviously into these playoffs. The problem is all of a sudden the three ball's not falling. It stopped falling in the fourth quarter at Madison Square Garden of game one, as well as overtime, was not falling in game two. It did not fall again in game three, yet they continued to shoot it. Meanwhile, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen should be feasting on the New York Knicks. and chewing them up and spitting them out, and they get them going early in the game, and then they forget those guys are on the floor. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's been very, very disappointing. I understand Kenny Atkinson likes to keep having timeouts in his pocket late in the games. Okay, that's great. You have your timeouts late in the games. How about using them? That's the whole point of saving your timeouts, is to use them. And this has been a thing throughout the playoffs with him, late in games, not wanting to use timeouts, trying to, I guess, catch the opposition in a rhythm or something like what, whatever his excuse is, right? We saw it in game one, right? 18 seconds left, have an opportunity, bang the timeout, the ball goes to the front court, easy inbound play in the half court, and away you go with whatever it is you're going to set up. Instead, they choose to run it up the floor, and, they get an okay look, and it doesn't go in. But, like, that's what's driving me crazy with Kenny right now, is that the whole reason they fired J.B. Bickerstaff a couple years ago and brought Kenny in was to improve the tactician level of the head coach when it comes to the game, right? And I just have not seen that in this series. Also, by the way, didn't see it much in the Pistons series. They're actually lucky they survived that whole seven-game debacle.
Yeah, Mike Brown has been coaching circles around Atkinson in this series, no doubt. And the strategy you're talking about, you're absolutely right, with the bigs, where the Knicks are very happy to collapse in the paint and deny the Cavs points in the paint and leave, you know, go ahead and beat us. Prove you can beat us from three-point range on tired legs after your back-to-back seven-game series in the fourth quarter, that you can be shooting and hitting those threes. Mike Brown's going to keep giving that up and protecting the paint until the Cavs prove that, you know, that they can win that way.
They haven't figured out. There's a reason they're leaving Evan Mobley wide open at the three-point line, and it's not because they really love and respect his three-point shooting prowess. And I understand that the last couple of years, that is an area of Mobley's game that he's improved. The organization's had an emphasis on trying to develop and expand and add that to his repertoire. But on no planet should he have shot six three-pointers last night. That's just ridiculous. He made one of them. And so these are the things that just drive me absolutely crazy. But this has become a run up and down the floor, chuck a bunch of threes style of play, not just here in Cleveland, but all across the NBA. It's an epidemic right now. Me, I'm a little old school. I like my seven-footers guarding the paint. I want them close to the rim. I want them cleaning up rebounds, getting the putbacks, all the, you know, blocking shots, all those type of things. I don't want them drug out to have to be playing defense on the perimeter where there's a chance they can get screened off and blown by and things like that. And we're seeing a lot of that happen in this series.
Yeah, it just seems like the strategy is playing right into the Knicks' hands and how they want this series to be played. So big picture, I am curious. There certainly are the detractors that are out there. The Knicks, as you're aware, are on a historic run. 10 wins in a row in the playoffs, and by a margin of plus 225, you know, it's just, you know, obviously, yeah, historic run going on right now. There are people who would say, well, they only beat the Hawks, and although the Hawks seem to have wanted the Knicks, the Hawks were a hot team coming into that series, and there are people who say, well, they only beat the Sixers did beat the Celtics, but and now there are people who will say, well, they only beat the Cavs, as opposed to the Knicks having to play, let's say, the Pistons. And I'm curious from your point of view as you're watching this, and I know there's a bias, and I know we all have our, you know, if you, you know, in your heart of hearts, of course, you want the Cavs to be winning this thing, just as I prefer the Knicks would win this series. But just curious where you stand watching this Knicks team, how good you think the Knicks are, or are you in this, it's just that the Cavs are tired and the, you know, Knicks are not that good a team?
Well, I said this morning, look, I give the Knicks all the respect and all the flowers for how they are handling their business in this series. Do I feel like they are an unbeatable behemoth monster? No, I don't. And I feel like the Cavaliers have, as you mentioned, played into the Knicks' hands. It frustrates me. I think that collectively the Cavaliers have more talent than the Knicks have.
You really do? You think the Cavs have more talent than the Knicks?
I do in the sense of they're certainly paying for it. It's the most expensive roster in, I think, NBA history this year. Dan Gilbert's going to pay upwards of $400 million. James Harden was supposed to be the missing link to really push this thing across the finish line for them. That's why they gave up Darius Garland, who unfortunately is oft injured. But I thought collectively the Cavaliers were the better team. But what the Knicks have that the Cavaliers do not have, that's Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson is a stone cold killer. The Cavaliers don't have that. They've never had that. They think they have that, but they don't have it.
It's supposed to be Donovan Mitchell, right?
It's supposed to be Donovan Mitchell. It's supposed to be Evan Mobley, right? And to a degree now, like James Harden, right? And they don't. Brunson has been just absolutely unstoppable in this series. The Cavs have no answer for that guy, okay? What he did to James Harden, the abuse he inflicted on James Harden in game one, that might have been one of the more embarrassing defensive mismatches I've ever seen. James Harden against Jalen Brunson. I think it was, seven straight shots that Brunson put in Harden's eye, okay, down this, and no one thought to call the time and say, hey, under no circumstances, I don't care.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
No matter what happens, under no circumstances is James Harden ever to be switched onto Jalen Brunson. Okay? Does everyone in this huddle understand that? Right? No one thought of that? I'm sitting there watching that on television and I can see it. And I have a rule. If I can see it, you should see it. And you should know it because that's what you're paid for, Kenny Atkinson. So, I think that the Knicks are a better team. Okay? The Cavaliers might have a little more talent, marginally, but the Knicks are a better team. The one thing that I've always struggled with this Cavalier, new Cavalier version that we've seen here for the last 4 or 5 years since Donovan Mitchell was acquired. And remember, these two teams met 4 years ago in the first round of the playoffs, and the Knicks just absolutely embarrassed the Cavs.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson obliterated the front line that time. Yeah,
and Jared Allen was talking about how the lights were too bright for us, just that and the other, and thus began the narrative that the Cavaliers are Charmin Soft and a bunch of marshmallows and all that, right?
Yep.
And they've never really been able to shed that label. Even now, they finally punched through that second round, they still haven't been able, I think, to really adequately shed that label. And I think the only way they do it is if they get to the NBA Finals and maybe win an NBA championship. That's obviously not happening this year. So I just don't know how they can run this thing back again, because the Knicks are going to be better next year. The Pacers will be better next year. Boston's going to be back next year. This was the year for the Cavs to break back through.
Yep.
And they have completely squandered this opportunity. And hats off to the Knicks. As you said, they're on a historical run. They're doing things that LeBron James did with the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's what the Knicks are doing right now, just to put a little historical context to that, with the way they're blowing through the East and making it look as easy as they are. But, man, from a Cavalier perspective right now, I do feel like this was a major blown opportunity for them. And kudos to the Knicks for smelling the blood in the water and taking advantage.
Yeah, the other thing with, and some of this is Mike Brown as a coach and what he's done, but also Jalen Brunson as a leader for this team. But the level of focus and intensity and attention to detail and all of that we see from this Knicks team, they take nothing for granted. They, I think we both saw it in game three, that the Cavs were down 2-0 in the series, and yet the Knicks look like the clearly more desperate basketball team out there. They play with that edge and they won't sell, they'll win this series and they won't celebrate very much. They're waiting. The only time you'll see a celebration, I think, out of Jalen Brunson really will be if they win the whole thing, until then you just won't. That attitude permeates this roster. And I think that you know, to your point, we can debate on, you know, is this guy a little more talented than that guy? But there's no doubt that the Knicks, the sum is...
Yeah.
And we didn't have, you know, that wasn't the case last year, even with the Knicks. And look, they pulled the 20, you know, Brunson led the 20 plus point comebacks a couple times against Boston, crazy comebacks, and, you know, and winning that series and beating the Celtics. But that team was not as cohesive. This one is the sum is greater than the parts. And Mike Brown, once he unlocked that, Carl Anthony Towns wrinkle of having the offense orchestrate out of Cat, now you have options. It can be the offense can run through Brunson, the offense can run through Cat, and you can run it through different people, and you have different wrinkles, all of that, and suddenly there are a lot more answers, so that when Atkinson makes an adjustment, the Knicks just have a lot more possible potential adjustments at their disposal that right now it just doesn't seem like the Cavs have.
And that's what the Cavaliers were supposed to be. It was supposed to have the flexibility of Donovan Mitchell being able to do it, then James Harden being able to do it, and Evan Mobley, and then Jared Allen. And they the Cavaliers have been a Jekyll and Hyde team all season long. You don't know which one's going to show up. There are nights where they look like they're NBA champions in the making, and there are nights you're just like, these guys ought to be in the lottery. They are a very hard team to project and predict. And what you see from the Knicks is what you get, and you know what to expect from them night in and night out. And again, the Cavaliers have an identity crisis on their hands. They've had it for the last couple of years. One of the things that I've been harping about a lot locally here in Cleveland is I just don't know if the pieces and parts fit well together. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, to me, they never fit well together. Too small of a backcourt. Yep. Darius, unfortunately, is always getting hurt. Donovan is not good enough to be able to carry the team on his shoulders on his own. He just gets tired and worn down. That's not a criticism. Like, that happens. But when you don't have an identity, I think this is the time of year where that really catches up to you, because I couldn't tell you what the Cavaliers' identity is, and I've been watching this thing even before they drafted Evan Mobley and started to kind of put this thing together. I don't know what their identity is, and I don't think they know it either.
All right, last question before I let you go: what was the reaction to the Cavs ownership putting out rules for fans for the playoffs? Because I'll just tell you, here in New York, we looked at that, and I think of Cleveland fans as actually being a good fan base. Like Cleveland, that's a good sports town, good fan base. And for all that the Knicks fans were in the arena for game three, if the Cavs had, you know, had themselves put out a more passionate effort onto the floor, I think, you know, Cavs fans were right there with them. Like, that didn't seem, that was not close to what we saw in Philly or Atlanta. And so the rules for being a fan, we read them over our airwaves, and honestly, we were laughing. My producer and I were just laughing. Like, Knicks fans would give the double bird if you ever told them, you know, by the way, chant defense? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, that's just, I get it. You know, sports is a little different today than maybe when I was growing up as a kid, as far as, you know, the folks that are actually going to the games and attending the games and can actually afford the tickets, right? They might need their hand held a little bit. I actually had a conversation with someone within the organization about the PA announcer, you know, chanting defense, because I had posted on X a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I'm not trying to make a big deal of this, but I don't remember a PA announcer having to tell the fans to chant defense in the middle of the game, right? And you know, someone reached out to me and said, well, you know, that happens around the NBA and whatever, and, you know, we're just trying to keep an atmosphere in the building. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. I'm amused by it. They tried to, Dan Gilbert did a nice job during the Pistons series. He, you know, bust a bunch of employees and some season ticket holders up to Detroit for those road games and that. And they wanted to try and limit the ability of folks to be able to buy, these tickets. They didn't want a New York Knicks takeover. But my whole thing is if the Cavaliers went out and did their job on the basketball floor, none of this matters.
Right.
Okay. that you would not have had the quote-unquote New York Knicks take over there in the fourth quarter in the building with the Let's Go Knicks chants and all that kind of stuff had the Cavaliers handle their business. So I think all that stuff, you know, that's all the entertainment side of things. It's grabbing Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were there last night, and it's like, I joked this morning, hey, Taylor, you just got baptized into Cleveland sports. That's how it goes around here most of the time. So welcome to Cleveland. And Travis knows, you know, having grown up here, he's pretty much seen it all. So outside of the 2016 NBA championship, there's a lot of heartache here in Cleveland when it comes to playoff disappointments. And I don't know that this one's going to be right up there, but it is one that I certainly am going to remember as an opportunity missed and a big-time disappointment, even though I also said that the Cavs did make it to the finals. They weren't beating Oklahoma City or San Antonio. So, you know what? Good luck to the Knicks next round.
Well, we'll see. We are optimistic about our Knicks at the moment. We are loving this team here in New York City. Appreciate the time. Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Thanks so much, and take care. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right. We got Steve, we got Richard, we got Liam all on hold wanting to jump on. Quick break, right back with your calls.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.